Father, as we gather here today, we gather as your people. We gather as those who have been washed and cleansed and set apart by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come as those who are even now being transformed into the image of your Son. But we know that along the way there will be difficulties that will be encountered. And you have told us so plainly in your word that these are to be expected, that these will come, and that when they come, we just need to stand firm and plow on and be faithful to you and do the right thing and leave the rest to you. And that ultimately, you're going to purify our faith to the point that it will be something so wonderful, so beautiful, so resplendent that you're going to put it on display for all of the heavens and the universe to see. So, Lord, help us to understand what it is that you are doing at this time and to understand that if we do go through very difficult times, it is only to draw us closer to yourself, to reveal yourself to us in a greater way, and that ultimately our faith would actually be strengthened. Thank you now, and take your word, we pray, and use it in our lives today. Use it in practical ways to strengthen us, and that we may better reflect the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things we pray, these things we ask, in Christ's name and for his sake. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, here it is one day later, and we're still here, so I don't think the rapture happened yesterday. If anybody comes to you with that kind of stuff, give them one verse, Mark 13:32. No other verse should be needed. Jesus said clearly, nobody knows, not the angels in heaven, not the Son, it says in that verse, but the Father only. So as I said in the Sunday school class this morning, one more for the trash heap. Like that Vonage commercial. There are people out there celebrating that it didn't happen. As believers, we shouldn't even, those things should hardly attract our attention. They come and they go. Now, how many believe the Lord is coming, though? How many believe things may get really, really bad? How many know we got to be ready all the time? That's it. Be ready all the time, and that we would be doing all that the Lord has commanded us to do. That's all he asks. He doesn't ask us to set dates. He asks us to work for him, labor for him, and rescue as many as we can while there is time and live for him. Have you ever felt like you were going through the fire? Apparently, many of the early believers did. And they did in many, many ways. And so when we get to the little book of 1 Peter, and you remember Peter, the one who denied the Lord three times, the one who was always speaking his mind and putting that thing, letting the mouth speak before the brain had engaged, but who after the day of Pentecost became a fearless proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that early church, yes, they were tried by the fire. And I can pretty much assure you today that whatever trials you may have been through, are going through, or may face in the future will be no worse, and in many cases not as severe as what those early believers went through. For them, suffering and persecution was just part of what it meant to serve the Lord. But just like us, it was possible to become discouraged in the midst of those trials. And so you had people like Peter who write them a word. And if you read this whole little epistle here, you will find that he might get on another topic, but then he'll come back to it. That's a thread that runs throughout this little letter. And this is what we call a general epistle. This epistle wasn't written to the church in Corinth or Ephesus or whatever. This was an epistle that was written to believers everywhere. And so he starts out by reminding them of the wonderful hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the inheritance reserved for us in heaven that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And I just love that passage when I read that. I just get excited every single time. I just do. And then he says, you say, not to put a damper on things, in this hope that the Lord has given us of things to come and of what's ours in the Lord, you greatly rejoice. Not just rejoice, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of what? What's the word there? What's the word? Trials. Testings. These, what? These trials have come for apparently a reason. They have come so that your faith, that would be your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith in Him as Savior and Lord, and your faith in trusting Him day by day as you walk with Him, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be, what's the next word? Proved. May be what? Proved. Genuine. Proved. Genuine. And may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then in chapter 4, he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. Now, I'm sorry, NIV, but you are so weak on this one that you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. It does not say there the painful trial you are suffering in the original Greek and or even in the King James. The King James has it right on this one. The fiery trial that you are going through. And that fits the imagery there in those opening verses of chapter 1. The fiery, like the smelting furnace, the fiery trial that you are going through. A bunion on your foot is painful. A splinter in your little finger is painful. No, he says the fiery trial. Seems to me they could have at least put intense or something there. But anyway, the fiery trial that you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. And so he's letting us know very, very clearly that fiery trials, intense trials, where the heat, do you know how hot it gets in one of those smelting furnaces? And by the way, all the imagery here and in chapter 1 is really about that. It's about the smelting furnace. And I tell you what, I like to inform myself a little bit. I went on Google this week and pulled up gold refining, and I found out some interesting things. I found out that the melting point of pure 24-karat gold is just under 2,000 degrees. How many of you have ever had any of your food up to 2,000 degrees? I fire up that gas grill and it's got a thermometer on it and it moves up to about 600, you know, and I have to stand back, you know. Actually, I think it was 1,965 degrees is the melting point of pure gold. But another thing that I found so interesting as it went down the chart was that with only one exception, as you move from 10 carat to 14 carat to 18 carat to 24 carat, the higher the carat value, the higher the melting temperature. And so, as the gold becomes purer and has less other stuff in it, then the higher the melting point. You see any correlation there? But there are all kinds of lessons to be learned. Now, we all have faith. We all have a measure of faith. If we didn't have faith, we wouldn't be believers. We wouldn't be Christians. But our faith is not pure. Along with our faith, there is some other gunk in there. And so I went also on another site to talk about gold refining. And this place is selling gold. It's one of those places you go on the internet and you can buy gold from them. And they say in there, they say, when we get pure gold bullion, we take it and we melt it down again and we pour it in a mold and the sludge rises to the top. I read that this very week and I'm like, man, this process hasn't changed in who knows how many thousand years. They still do it the same way. You want to purify that gold? You bring it, or any other metal, precious metal, but you bring it to that point, because until it melts, the junk won't come to the top. All right, time for some observations. We haven't made any observations yet. Number one, our faith is precious to God. Now, the world values other stuff. They value gold. In fact, there's a lot about gold now. You know, gold is thought to be safer than paper currency. So all of a sudden, even your investors, I just saw a headline in the last day or two, China now primary buyer of gold. Now, why do you think they're investing in gold? Isn't it funny how things come around? We print all this money and we do all this stuff, and yet people know gold is the thing that really has true worth, regardless of what currencies are worth. And so gold is precious down here in this realm, and that's why Peter uses it as a comparison and as a point of reference. We still talk of gold. But the world, they're looking for gold, and they're looking for treasure, and they're looking for retirement money, and they're looking for stuff like that. And God, even though he made it all, he isn't really interested in any of that stuff. He's interested in faith. And when he looks down here, what's precious to him is the true, genuine faith living and abiding in the hearts of his people. So that's what he's looking for, because that's going to outlast all the physical stuff that you can look at, and that is a thing that is important to God. So our faith is precious to God, and it says so right there where these have come, so that your faith of greater worth than gold. Did you read that? Now, I don't have much gold, but I got something better. I got a faith that's worth more than gold. So I think I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. Our faith is precious to God. All right? Number two, our faith will be tried. It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of exactly how. It's just, it's going to happen sooner or later, and God allows it. Why does he allow it? Well, we'll be talking a little more about that. But all faith will be tried. It will be put to the test, and God will allow it to be so. And so, just like the metal, if it's a precious metal, it's going to be put to the test. It's going to be melted. And in the process, whatever is there that shouldn't be there is going to be revealed, and it's going to come to the top. And the reason it's brought to the top is so that it can be removed. So the Lord doesn't put us through these exercises or allow us to go through these exercises just so we can go through these exercises. There is a reason for it, and it will be. All true faith. Number three, true faith, genuine faith, is refined and purified through intense trials. Read that one more time. True faith is refined and purified, how? Through intense trials. I put in my own margin here, true faith has nothing to fear from trials. You know why? Because the melting of the metal will not burn up or destroy that metal. It will only make it purer. But it has to be the real thing. So if somebody says, oh, that trial just destroyed my faith, guess what? It never was real faith to begin with. It was a fake faith. And that is why when the trial came, it crashed. Because it never was the real thing to begin with. Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ real? Now, your faith may not be perfect, and it may have a few little flicks of this and that mixed in there, but if it is real, the fire will not destroy it. It cannot destroy it. It can only bring to the top the things that should not be there to begin with. And that's the other thing. Trials don't cause those internal conflicts and problems you have in your life. They only reveal them. They do not cause them. Trials do not cause faith failure. You might want to write that down. Trials do not cause faith failure. All they do is purify true faith. Because that faith, oh, it'll be tried and all that. It'll get hot and it'll be all that. And then, oh, and some ugly stuff will come out. It's supposed to. That's what the trial is for. So that the Lord can deal with it. So that he can then work in our hearts to the point that maybe it was there in our heart, we didn't even know it. It was revealed by the trial. Some bitterness, some little thing, whatever, some lack of faith, some little bit of pride or foolishness or whatever that's still there, some little superficiality or whatever, and the Lord will reveal it through that trial, and then that's when the Holy Spirit does his work. The Holy Spirit comes in with his strainer or whatever it is, and he begins to get that stuff off. And then when the trial is over, oh, our faith now, it's as good as gold, and it is better than it was before because it is now minus those little things that were there that were keeping it from being as pure as it should have been. Now, you know, anything that's a precious metal will be tried by fire, and that is how it is smelted, that is how it is separated from the ore, and then after it has become the early stages of the metal, then that is also how it is further refined. And how hot does it get in a smelting furnace? Again, depending on the metal. Let's just say very, very hot. What do they put in smelting furnaces? They put precious metals in smelting furnaces. You don't see people putting newsprint in smelting furnaces. You don't see them putting their discarded Kleenex in smelting furnaces. You don't see people taking the trimmings from their lawn from last week and numbing them in the smelting furnace because they know that stuff is going to burn right up. No, we take a precious metal and we put it in the smelting furnace. Things of lesser value aren't worth putting in the smelting furnace. And so when the intense trials come, that just proves one thing, and that is the Lord wants to know if my faith is genuine. If it holds up in the trial, then it's genuine. If it doesn't hold up in the trial, I need to go back to square one and get me some real faith. Do you know what the Lord said to that Laodicean church? To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. And many believe that this is the church of the end time. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me, what? Gold refined in the fire. So that you can become rich. and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. You think you're all that. You're nothing. You're in pitiful, wretched condition, he says to this church. And he says, if you really want to be rich, come to me and get some gold refined in the fire. We have believers right now in different parts of the world that are going through that fire. You may think your own individual trial that you're going through today is intense, but we do have whole groups of people in parts of the world. And I mean, there's stuff that just happened in the last few weeks. Did you know that at least several hundred, if not several thousand Christians have been killed in the Middle East just here in the last few weeks? Did you know that dozens of Christian churches have been burned in Egypt just in the last few weeks? And these things are going on all the time, and we hardly ever hear about them. These people are going through the kinds of trials that Peter's talking about here. So, yeah, you know, we're here in America, and, yeah, we go through personal trials, and that's probably what I'm talking about today for us. But the point is, there are Christians in other places that are really being put to the test. And I can tell you this, when the fire of persecution really gets hot, then that's when you do find out who's a true believer and who isn't. Talk is cheap. And the Lord is looking for faith, real faith, faith that will stand the test of the fire, and not only withstand the test of the fire, but emerge from that fire purer, brighter, shinier, and of greater worth than it was before. Shall we continue? Number four, the testing of our faith is a normal process in the Christian life. But we're no different, you know, from those early ones. So he tells them right off the bat. He said, Don't be surprised that the fiery trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. It is not strange. And if we are real believers, like we said, you know, it's not worth putting cheap stuff in a smelting furnace. So the fact that our faith is even being put on trial, that's a pretty good hint that there must be something there, or, you know, the devil or whoever wouldn't be going to all that trouble to make life difficult for us. So it's a normal part of the Christian life. It is part of the process. God allows it. And I tell you what, when his completed work, how many know we're works in progress right now? And as we're talking about this morning, that's just another way of saying that. But when that finished product is done, oh, it is going to be something to behold. So my brother and my sister, don't despair over the trial. Don't get all discouraged and ready to throw in the towel and all that because of whatever trial that you're going through. And oh, yes, the enemy knows where your vulnerabilities are. And guess where he is going to hit? He's going to hit where you're most vulnerable. He's going to hit where your insecurities are the greatest. That's exactly where he's going to hit. But don't despair because of it. Because the Lord is doing a work in you. And if you let him do in you what he wants to do in you in the middle of that trial, it's going to bring honor and glory to him. Can I hear an amen? It will. And we will emerge stronger and more in the image of Christ. Number five, we may not like this one. Untried faith is immature faith. When we start out in the Lord, we have faith. It's real, but it's immature. That little baby boy that was born Wednesday over there at Norfolk General from our neighbor here, he's a real baby. He's a real human. Is he mature? I don't think so. So untried faith is immature faith. So as much as we may not like undergoing these really hard things, There just aren't shortcuts sometimes. There aren't. There aren't shortcuts. You say, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I want a purer faith. Do you know what you're asking? There's a process by which that happens. And that process is when our faith is put to trial. Now again, he's not against us. He's not trying to make life hard for us. He just wants to get rid of the sludge. And the only way he can do that is by allowing these things. And then as we react correctly, it's a process by which he removes those things from our lives. Number six, the purpose of purification or refinement, whatever you want to put there. The purpose of purification is that the image of Christ might be more clearly reflected in us. That is the purpose. And I don't know much about these things, but you've probably heard this story too, that how does the silversmith know when the silver has been sufficiently refined? He can see his reflection in it. That's what I'm told. And that is the purpose that God has in allowing these things. And seven is a lot like one. Faith refined by fire is what God most values in his people, and one day will be put on display for all to see. Remember what God said to Satan when Satan came and God said, by the way, Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? Have you noticed how much Job loves me, Satan? Have you noticed how dedicated he is to me? And Satan said, yeah, sure. You've built a hedge around him. You've protected him. You've blessed him. You've made life easy for him. But take away everything he has, and he'll spit in your face. And what did God say? Go ahead. And so Job lost everything in one day. And you remember what Job said? The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. Satan comes back. The Lord says, by the way, Satan, have you noticed that even though Job has lost everything, he still loves me just like he did before? And he said, yeah, but touch him in his body. People will give anything for their health. He said, then fine, go ahead. Just see that you spare his life. And then he went through the great physical pain, and he was out there in the ash heap, and he was scraping his boils, festering boils, with broken pieces of pottery. And that's how bad it was for Job. And yet, in all of that, did Job have some questions? Yes, he did. And that's what the bulk of that book is about, him and his friends going back and forth. And he's like, I sure wish I could ask the Lord a few things here, because there's some things here I don't understand and all of that. But when it was over, what happened? Job was a better man. And Job repented, and he said, Lord, there were things I just didn't understand, but now I understand. So his faith took a leap. His faith became more mature. And then the Lord restored him and gave him back three times what he had ever had before. Would you say that Job's faith went through the fire? And would you say that when it was over, he emerged a better man? Not in the earthly, physical sense, but because of God's work in him. Amen? He emerged a better man. That, if you want an illustration of what we're talking about here this morning, that is it. And it's not about what happens to us. We've said it many, many times, and we'll say it again. It's about how we react when the stuff happens to us. And so if we're in the Lord, and if we are trusting Him, and I may be saying, Lord, there's things here I don't understand, but Lord, I do trust You. I am going to the best of my ability, right in the middle of this, Lord, I want to honor You. Show me what Your will and Your purpose is in this, and I subject to it, and I don't try to get out of it. I don't go looking for it, but I don't go trying to worm my way out of it. Lord, You're able to end this trial when it's Your time, but teach me in this trial what I need to learn. Because there's a sad thing would be I go through it and then still don't learn what I ought to learn. You know, they say you can learn from your mistake. So the worst kind of mistake is the one you never learned anything from. And the same thing could be said of the trial. And so if through that trial I learn more about trusting in the Lord, more about waiting for His timing, more about letting Him do His thing, that is not a bad thing. And when it's all over, I'm going to emerge stronger than I was before. I don't know who I might be talking to this morning, or the Lord through me might be talking to today, but we're all the same. None of us are immune to trials. The man in the pulpit isn't. You aren't. The people that just started the other day serving the Lord, they aren't. And those saints of the Lord that have been with Him 40 or 50 years, they aren't either. None of us are immune from this. And so when it happens, what does He say? We need to be praising the Lord at one level and saying, Lord, You thought enough of me to allow me to be subjected to this so that in this trial I might bring honor and glory to You. Just teach me what I need to know and what I need to learn in this. Because, Lord, what I want is that You would be glorified in all things. Amen? We may not be there yet, but that is where the Lord wants to get us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today. And even though trials come, and sometimes they're very, very unexpected, and sometimes they are exactly what we would say, I definitely don't need this right now. This is the worst thing that could be happening to me right now. But You knew it all along, and You just want us to trust You in the middle of this thing and bring honor and glory to You. So, Lord, that's my prayer today for myself, for all of us here. We want our faith to be genuine, and it is. I really believe it is. But even though it's genuine, that doesn't mean it can't be made better. It doesn't mean it can't be made stronger. And You're going to do that by whatever means it takes. And in the end, we're going to be a work of beauty that You're going to put on display. So, Lord, help us to bear up under the stuff today. Help us to trust You today, lean on You today, not try to take things in our own hands and solve everything ourselves our own way, but let You work it out for Your glory, and You will be glorified. And we will emerge from the fiery trial, not only not destroyed, we'll be unscathed, just like those Hebrew children when they left that fiery furnace, and You will get the glory. That's our prayer. That's our prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.